You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Most men think they're gold. This one just happens to be right. Which is a quote from the movie Bedazzled. And hi, that's today's movies. And hi, it's
wow,
the Bechdelcast.
She did it. What's your name?
Oh, mommy. Yes. Who,
that
me?
Was, yeah, no, I'm sticking with it. What's your name? Now it's aggressive.
What if I was like, I'm the devil?
I was hoping you would say that. Okay, yes. I'm the devil. What does she say? Like, Beelzebub. She says like 500 different
names. She's basically singing Bohemian Rhapsody.
She. Oh, it's so... you're in for it today, because I have no fucking clue what's going on in this movie. This is a movie that I feel like could have only come out in 2000. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, did it make sense then? Because I was really...
I'm not sure. Wait. What's your name?
Oh, right. Well, I'm Beelzebub. No, I'm...
okay.
My name's Jamie.
My name's Caitlin.
We're on a first name basis at this point. Mm-hmm. And this is the Bechdel cast. This is where we talk about movies from an intersectional feminist lens. And we also talk about Bedazzled. And that's what we're doing today.
Bechdel cast? More like Bedazzled.
Why is this movie called Bedazzled? We were talking about this before we got on mic. Mm.
I think it's because the devil, Lucifer, Beelzebub, Satan, has the ability to bedazzle you with all, you know, riches and respect and love and all that
stuff. A series of long sketches in the middle of a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. That's as close as I got.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, this is our podcast. We use the Bechdel test as a jumping off point for discussion. That is a media metric invented by queer cartoonist Alison Bechdel that requires that, for our purposes, two characters of a marginalized gender with names speak to each other about something other than Brendan Fraser.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the test is going to work today. And we'll just see what happens.
We will indeed. And I say, without much further ado, we introduce mm-hmm. our guest.
Yes.
A fan favorite, first of all. She's also a comedian, actor. You know her from ABC's The Con, and she's the host of Scam Goddess podcast.
Yeah.
It's Lacey Mosley.
Hi.
Oh, welcome back.
I would like to be addressed as Satan. It's got an accent mark, so it's Satan, not uh-huh. Satan. Satan.
Okay, we're hitting the second syllable.
It's funny that y'all were talking about the title of this movie. I personally, I guess because I was younger when it came out, I remember talking to my friends about it, and I'd be like, yeah, you know that movie, what did I call it? Bebazeld. I was like, you know, Bebazeld. Maybe I was illiterate. But I'm like, y'all know that movie Bebazeld with the British devil?
That's honestly enough information to know what the movie is.
Perfect plot.
I'm so glad you brought us this movie because I had no idea this movie existed.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah, I'd never heard of it. And I thought that I'm not a Brendan Fraser fan, but I find him interesting as
is
like
anyone?
A person. I don't think so.
It's not that I hate Brendan Fraser. It's just like, I don't know if people are like, ooh, yeah, give me that Brendan. Like, I don't, does someone have a poster of him in their wall? I don't know.
He's like interesting because I don't know. Anytime there's someone who is like, I look like a movie star, but I'm actually a character actor. I'm like, that's kind of interesting to me. But I had no idea this movie existed. Hmm. What is this thing? Lacey, what is your history with Bedazzled?
So my history with Bebazeld is I remember seeing it with my cousin as a kid. And, you know, we were pretty religious, but not like, it was like I went to church a lot. But like as soon as my mom had full control over how much we went to church, then we like didn't go to church much.
Nice.
You know, we hit the bops. You know, we were there for the high holidays. We were there for, you know, the cute moments, the Easters, the Christmases, you know.
Yeah.
Sure.
Whenever Jesus would come back, we would come back as well, basically. But so I remember watching it kind of like we were like sneaking and watching it much as we did most of the television that we watched. And I remember having fun watching it. Much like when I was here from What Women Want, which was a dumpster fire, the one with Mel Gibson, I was like, I remember being like, bitch, this is good. Like so I was ready to love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, we've the early 2000s, what a cursed time.
It was really just a free-for-all. You could do all sorts of shit.
That was our 80s. I mean, like, we were wearing skirts over leggings and jout fits and so for some reason a flower in your hair anywhere. Like
I wore a flower in my hair to my senior prom, please and thank you.
I wore one to the club. Poor decision.
I remember, like, being... I don't know. I guess like being a kid around this time, I don't know why, but I have like a really strong memory of being on the school bus and having a t-shirt that had like a sassy little phrase on it that said like 90% angel, 10% devil, and thinking like there is never going to be a shirt cooler than this shirt. Like I was so thoroughly convinced that early 2000s child fashion was going to be as good as we ever got. It was
limited two, girl. Limited two.
It was great. 90% angel, 10% devil. It fits perfectly with Bedazzled.
Also feels like a little horny for kid apparel. I mean, like maybe the devil's like a little devil, but I don't know.
Did either of you wear weirdly horny kid shirts? Because I had my fifth grade school picture. I'm wearing a t-shirt that says too young for Ashton, which is like fucked up.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
my God.
I snuck it to school. My mom didn't want me to wear it, but my aunt got it for me. My horny aunt was like, this is funny. And then I brought home the school pictures.
And now it's in your life forever. I love that. Your aunt is hilarious, but that shirt is, who made that? Who was like, yeah, put that on the screen.
They were just selling that at like, I don't even know where it would have been, like the Macy's clearance section. Mm-hmm. They just had that shirt for kids.
Right. Like the shirt basically is like, I'm horny for Ashton, but he can't be horny back. Like, what are we saying?
It's like, thanks for letting us know, 10-year-old.
I hope Ashton made some coin off of that. Because they just said Ashton. They didn't say Kutcher. So he probably out here getting smeared and he didn't even get a coin.
Oh my goodness.
Caitlin, what's your history of this movie? My history is literally I didn't know it existed before before we started getting ready for this episode.
This came out when I was in high school, or I was like just about to enter high school. So it was definitely on my radar, and I thought I had seen this movie, but when I went to watch it to prep for this episode, I'm like, none of this is familiar to me except for one scene where he first wakes up as a Colombian drug lord. And he's figuring out that he can speak Spanish because this clip is featured as a clip in the board game Seen It, if anyone remembers Seen
Whoa.
It.
Deep I do cut. Remember that. Yeah.
I do remember that.
So that whole scene plays out, and then you're supposed to like answer like trivia questions about that clip or whatever in the game. Anyway, so that I was like, okay, I've definitely seen that part of it. I think it must have been on at a sleepover or something like that, because I've like bits and pieces of it were familiar to me, but I don't think I had seen the whole thing.
You were too busy pillow fighting?
I was too busy being 90% angel, 10% devil. but yeah, so should we just get into the recap and then...
I am so excited to hear you recap this movie.
Yes, like, please.
What is going to happen?
I was thinking already. About you while I was watching the movie. I was like, I just can't wait for Caitlin to do this.
Thank you. Okay, so we meet Elliot. That is Brendan Fraser. He works at a tech company and he's a loser. He's a dork. He's annoying and nobody likes him.
He's Brendan Frasering out at the beginning.
Like such a simp.
Yeah, like this is Brendan Fraser at the beginning of a lot of movies.
Right.
He's like really loudly not fitting in.
I kept thinking back to, so we recorded an episode on The Mummy, 1999, a few years ago now.
Yeah.
But our whole thing with that episode is that he was like feral for a lot of the movie because he like surprise kisses Rachel Weisz and he's just like being this horny feral like.
We love
animal.
A surprise kiss, and by that I mean we don't.
In this movie, he gets surprise kissed by the devil. Mm-hmm. So I just kept thinking about like Brendan Fraser being feral and it kept making me laugh. Anyway.
He's so confusing.
So one evening he sees some people that he knows from work hanging out without him at a bar. And then the woman that he has a huge crush on, who he also works with, or like she works in the same building or something, Allison Gardner, that's Frances O'Connor, she comes in and his coworkers kind of like egg him on to go talk to her. Because he's all like, yeah, she and I are like good friends. And he goes over to talk to her. She does not remember Elliot at all because turns out they've only talked once briefly 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And then she walks away. But just then, Elliot comes upon a sexy woman in red.
Yeah, it does happen that quickly. Wait, really quick on... Allison, I was waiting the whole movie to be like, what is like one thing about Allison?
Her?
What is one thing about her other than she seems to reflexively, like many people who are being aggressively hit on, be nice to people instead of telling them to fuck off. Like that's, I think, the one thing I know about her.
Yeah, they didn't give us no information about her. She kind of looked like Mariah Carey, which I was like, maybe that's like, ooh, you know, for the times, like Mariah, you know, Mariah's always popping. She owns Christmas. Move over, Jesus. But she's long booted Jesus off the manger. It's just her in heels. But I was like, oh, maybe that was for the times. But also I didn't like that, like it gave such incel vibes of like, this woman, we don't know nothing about her. It's like if you just saw a girl on Instagram and was like, that's my wife, and it's like you've never never talked to her. We'd even right. Instagram would give more information. At least she would have some captions we could look at, like, oh, this bitch like the sun, okay, she loves the beach, all right, like right. Nothing. Yeah, we know nothing about
nothing.
Her.
Yeah. It's so weird. Yeah, like slow-mo entrance shot, and then we never learn. To the point where, like, when she would show up in all these, like, later, like, fantasy sequences, I would kind of sometimes be like, wait, who is that? Oh, I guess it's that Lady Allison. Mm-hmm. Like, I didn't recognize her.
Because she was in those wigs.
She was just in a bunch of wigs. And I was like, she's fun, but I'm like, who is this woman? Mm-hmm. What is different about her?
She's passionate about wigs. That's what we know.
She loves a good wig.
So, right. He knows the way she likes to eat her bagels, and that's all he knows about her, and that's all we know about her.
Yep.
But anyway, so suddenly this very sexy woman in red is in the movie, and she's played by Elizabeth Hurley. And there's something very peculiar about her because she's really good at pool and she seems to be omniscient and Then she's like, by the way, Brendan Fraser, I have the power to give you everything you've ever dreamed of. And it's because I'm the devil. Tee hee.
She's really fun as the devil. Fun in this. Mm-hmm. Like, naughty. Even when it's fucked up, she's still fun. And she's like hot off of Austin Powers, too. It's like peak Elizabeth Hurley, mm-hmm. because I'm like, what if I can't tell you what Elizabeth Hurley did after this.
No, she was very naughty. I also think that, like, having the devil be British was just like, it just, because I just can't imagine an American woman like, yeah, I'm the devil. So what's up? You want some wishes or nah? Just if you're not me. Just doesn't sound as sexy as her.
Yeah.
Also, the fact that the devil is a genie, oh, like, there's so many leaps of logic where I'm like, oh, okay, I guess the devil is a genie. And she's obsessed with Brendan Fraser because of a CD-ROM computer program that she has? Don't know.
Right. And, well, okay, so this movie is based on a 1967 movie of the same name that Peter Cook and Dudley Moore were in, and that who also co-wrote that movie, which was also an adaptation from the Faust legend, which admittedly I don't know anything about Faust.
It definitely feels like something that's been adapted from other stuff, because some things I'm like, huh?
Right.
What? Where did that come from?
Like, what triggered the devil? Like, I didn't see him go like, oh, devil, I wish I could be with Allison. Like, it was nothing. There's nothing that triggered the devil.
He goes, he's like, dear God, I would do anything to be. So he basically prays to God, saying like, I would do anything to be with this woman. And rather than God responding, so honestly, maybe this movie is commentary on like, where's God when you need him? Because who shows up
he's at the end of the movie.
right. Yes. God is in this movie. I can't wait to talk about him. But so the devil is like, hi, I'm the devil. And he's like, what? So she has to prove it to him because, you know, Brendan Fraser doesn't believe women or devils.
Well, she does like just kind of start accosting. I don't know. All their scenes together are like, what is this dynamic? And then at the end where he says like, you're the best friend I've ever had. I'm like, that's the saddest
that's
thing
so
I've ever
sad.
Heard in my life.
Not the devil, your best friend. Yeah.
And she hates you, man. She hates you so much.
She's just using you to get your soul.
Such a weird story. So I needed the help of Wikipedia to understand what was happening at the beginning, because the whole like intro is like, we see people being, it's like a very early 2000s computer program where it'll like point at the person and then say five adjectives like it's the next bus or something. I'm like, what? But apparently that's the devil's computer program, which yes. I didn't understand.
What?
Right? I was like, I didn't get that till the second viewing. I was like, so the devil has a CD-ROM that tells her that Brendan Fraser is lonely? Like, it's just weird.
Yeah. Yeah, because she's using it basically as like kind of like an online dating site, but rather than to like find dates, it's to like find
for
candidates
souls.
For souls she can snatch up.
And some of that language was just so early 2000s. I was like, this is like the shit you could get away with. Like, they pointed at one woman and it was like, tease. And it's like,
yeah.
I feel like that's a word made up by men who wanted to have sex with somebody who did not want to have sex with them. That's right. Not a thing. So some of the points I was like, problematic.
Yes, definitely.
This is a very 2000 software program. Like, it's so.
Not updated.
No.
Yeah. It's running on fucking Windows 98. Like, but then when it points at Brendan Fraser, it's like doormat, lonely, desperate, oblivious, eager to please. And I was like, wow, feeling called out. That's so brutal.
And then he holds the door and a million people go inside.
Yes.
I was like, Brendan, you could have got in there. You could have stuck a toe in there.
Seriously.
Brendan, have some self-esteem. But then he does have self-esteem, but it's really like aggressive at times. He's a weird character.
Yeah.
Like, he's either, I feel like he falls kind of into that nerd stereotype of like, I'm going to force people to like me, which is like, no, that's also scary. That's not a good approach.
Right.
I felt bad for that in his working group. First of all, shout out Orlando Jones.
Yes. So funny.
He's great. Even though it's like he should have had more to do. But like I was glad he was there. And then there was also like token guy's gal that was with them who was like, oh, like she, oh God, it was just like such a stock character. But I'm like, oh, I know who you are. Welcome. Right.
You will never talk to another woman in this film, but you'll be there with the guys, but not everywhere. Because, like, was she ever in any of the cutaways?
No, she was only in, like, the non-wish, like, non-fantasy
Why scenes. Could she come to the fantasy? She was just as involved in his creepy-ass life.
Right?
She was just as much of a bully to Brendan Fraser as anyone else, and she wasn't invited.
Rude.
Damn, that didn't even occur to me. I was just like, wow, guys gal, they gave her like the guys gal Daria jacket and everything.
Mm-hmm. but she's not allowed to participate in most of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anyway, so he's like, you're not the devil. So she proves it to him by granting his wish of a Big Mac and a Coke. But it doesn't seem that impressive because she just takes him to McDonald's and he has to pay for it. But then she takes him to her nightclub where everyone seems to know him and love him. And then she presents him with this contract where she will grant him 7 wishes, because she's also a genie, in exchange for his soul. And because he really, really wants to be with this woman, Allison, he signs the contract. And then she's like, okay, I'm going to give you this pager. If things aren't going the way you'd hope, just, you know, dial 666 and then we'll sort it out.
Classic 2000s devil.
Right. So what follows next is a bunch of sequences that I'm just going to kind of breeze through because I feel like we will break them down one by one in the discussion.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to spend too much time on it, but basically there's all these sequences where he makes a wish. Things seem great at first, but then he discovers like a catch, and then he has to page the devil and go back to normal until he makes his next wish. So the first one is that he wishes to be very rich and powerful and married to Allison. Cut to, he is now Colombian. Okay.
Yep.
He lives in a mansion with his wife, Allison, and he's rich and everything. But the catch is Allison hates him and is cheating on him, and he got his wealth and power by running a drug cartel.
This is where I was like, what the huh? There is, this movie quickly becomes just a series of really long sketches.
Yes.
Where Brendan Fraser is doing the absolute most a person can do. Like, it's just like a pile of wigs and a bunch of things happening, and it's all 10 minutes long, and at the end you're like, huh? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden he's talking to the devil again.
Right.
And why did he have to have a prosthetic nose to be a Colombian drug lord?
Well, I mean, that's not all they do. They put him in brown face.
Yeah, they did. Oh, God. Yeah. And that wig. We'll get into it. But
and that's like, oh, God. They're all like bad, but all in like very distinct way. It's kind of like a weird sampler plate of like problematic 2000s shit.
They find a new way to be extremely problematic with each new wish.
Yeah.
So the next one is after he finds out that Allison wants a sensitive man, he wishes to be the world's most sensitive man and for Allison to be in love with him. So we cut to him being super sensitive, but the catch is that he's too sensitive and overbearing, and she's turned off by it and leaves
him.
And
it's disgusting.
Yes. So his next wish is to be tall and strong and athletic. So the devil turns him into a pro basketball player.
Ooh.
And Allison is now a sports reporter, and she's really horny for him. But the catch is he has a very small penis, which she sees because... He starts to undress in front of her in the locker room as she's like trying to interview him as a sports reporter.
But also she's like, yeah, like it's, oh God, the like gymnastics, the logic gymnastics, the story goes to be like, no, she is actually telling him that he has to strip in front of her in the locker room because that's what sports reporters do. And it's like, it's oh boy.
It's a mind fuck. But so she sees his small penis and now she is not interested in him. So then his next wish is to be really smart and educated and witty and sophisticated, and for Allison to fall in love with him, and that he has a big penis. So cut to him being a renowned writer who's very charming and cool and everyone likes him. And then he meets Allison at some event and they hit it off. But the catch here is that when they go back to his place, it turns out that Elliot is gay and has like a male partner and is not actually interested in Allison.
More gymnastics so later that, on yes, that.
So yes. That's one.
So the next wish is he wants to do something good for mankind and to create a better world and do something important. So he wishes to be the president of the United States. So the devil makes him President Lincoln right before he's about to be assassinated. Mm-hmm. He comes out of that wish, and now he only has one wish left because the devil is counting the Big Mac and Coke as one of his wishes. And he's like, you know what, devil, the deal is off. And he goes to a church to talk to God.
So weird, yeah.
But there he gets arrested. And in jail, he meets God.
A black man in jail.
Right.
Oh, my message.
And he's just like talking to Brendan Fraser about like his soul and his life and stuff like that.
What if God were one of us? And you're just like, interesting tale.
I know. The only thing more cliche could have been him on a bus.
Oh, gosh. God. So then he gets out of jail and he goes to the devil's club and he's like, you know what? I don't want my last wish. But the devil freaks out and sends him to hell or something. So,
oh, my God. And then the hell has terrible special effects.
Yep.
It's so brutal. When Elizabeth Hurley gets gigantic, but she still has the Austin Powers hair and she's like, I'm going to send you to hell forever. You're like, oh, I need a drink. Yeah. Anything.
Yes. So then she like basically forces him to make a wish. So his last wish is he wishes that Allison have a happy life. And then suddenly he and the devil are like in a courthouse. Mm-hmm. And she explains that the contract that he signed states that if a person commits a selfless act of redemption, like wishing for someone else's happiness, it voids the contract, which means the deal is off and he gets to keep his soul. So Elliot returns to his normal life. He asks Allison out, which is just what he should have done at the beginning of the movie.
Right, not sell your soul.
But, oh no, Allison's seeing someone. But it's okay because he goes home and his new neighbor is a lady who looks exactly like Allison.
Oh, God.
Except she's so quirky that it's a miracle she's alive. Like, like, oh, my God. It's like if Zooey Deschanel in 2006 were at like a 40. I was like, she was just like, my name's Nicole, but you can call me Nikki. And then he's like, wow, I'm in love as hell.
Then she trips and she drops all her papers.
Yeah, it was like Hillary Duff. So like all of that in one character that we meet for 45 seconds. And we're supposed to be like, wow, I love this character. I'm like, this men wrote this character. And that's just a fact.
Also, it just suggests that like, it doesn't matter what a woman's personality is, as long as she looks exactly like that woman, Brendan Fraser will be in love with her.
But there's a lot of men who are like that.
Yeah. That's true.
Yikes. Ugh.
I know. I was like, it's really like, I don't know. This movie really rewards Brendan Fraser's character for like not being violently angry that he's rejected by Allison, and then they're like, all right, he can be lonely for like 10 more minutes and then we have to give him a girlfriend because he's earned it,
right?
Which is just like that whole like nerd narrative that I don't know, I feel I'm like, that's why Jeff Bezos exists probably, is like this whole narrative. Oh boy, gosh.
Anyway, so he falls in love with new Allison instead. And then there's a shot of the devil playing chess in the park with God.
Oh my God.
The movie ends. So let's take a quick break and we'll come right back to discuss.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but, like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at PurdueGlobal.edu.
Okay, we're back.
Lacey, would you like to start anywhere in particular? I mean,
okay. So, these are going to be some random things, and then we can get into the things. Mm-hmm. So, the Devil's Club was called Deviate. And it was like DV with an 8.
With a numeral 8.
Yeah. I was watching when they went in the club, like the screens. Because, you know, they had people in the pool, people dancing, da 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 da. And then they had these screens of, like, you know, like devil shit. And it was all just brown or black or ethnic people dancing. Mm-hmm. I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
They were like, there's no reason these Negroes should have all this rhythm. It must be the devil. I'm like, why is this in the back? It wasn't no white people like doing the cha-cha or you know, the goddamn foxtrot. None of that. Just black people and brown people, indigenous people dancing. I was like, curious.
Yeah.
What are the random details? Oh, him aggressively trying to be friends with all these people who hate him. There was a fun moment where he walks up to a guy who's like, I don't know if offices have these anymore, but he was at a coffee machine. And when the guy sees Brendan Fraser walking up, he starts stabbing the coffee machine real hard, trying to like get the coffee real fast. He's like, oh no, he's coming. And I was just like, everyone hates this man this much at the office. Like, God damn.
Yeah.
I just like, I want to know what I... Not to be like, his coworkers are probably right, but like, do they just hate him for no reason? Like, I would like to know why they dislike him so much. Because maybe they have an amazing reason of why they don't want to hang out with him.
I was going to say he did one thing that I would be like, bitch, I hate you. The girl came in, and I think she was late, and he was like, oh, girl, you're late. Like, he was, like, yelling it. I'm like, bitch, I'm constantly 7 minutes late everywhere I go. I dare somebody to comment on it. 7 is the perfect amount. No one can get mad about 7 minutes. 8, yes. 10, angry. 5, 7, sweet spot.
I was reading that as he was imitating their boss, because later on, their boss says the same thing to him. So I think he was like trying to be like, haha, look how funny I am. I'm like saying to you what our boss says to us. Look at us relating. And then she just flips him off. Something else he did that was also like, fuck you, dude. is he, I don't know his colleagues' names. I did not bother to write them down or figure them out.
I don't think the movie really tells you.
Right.
We got the black guy. We got the skinny guy. We got the girl who only hangs out with guys because girls are too much drama.
But one of them, like, he's the one who, Brendan Fraser's like, let's go to the brewery and check out the ladies. And the guy's like, dude, I'm married. And then Brendan Fraser's like, oh, yeah, I see you're, like, taking a train to Whipville or whatever he says. He's basically like, you're whipped. And then the guy's like, you're not funny. Please leave me alone.
Which is like, fair enough. There, I don't, it's so weird because it's like, I don't know. Brendan Fraser plays everything so broadly that you're kind of like, yeah, I get why people don't like him.
But also he's like not specific enough for you to feel like, oh, I can relate to somebody being this annoying. It's like, I don't know. It was hard to root for him. It was also like, I guess I could root against you. I don't, I had no feel. I was like ambivalent the whole time about what he was doing.
Right.
It was like,
yeah, it really is a movie that you're kind of on no one's side and you're just kind of hanging out to see what what the next sketch is. I wasn't really rooting for anybody. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, no one.
I was kind of rooting for the devil, but that's just me.
Also, representation, like, oh, okay, we're going to have a woman be the devil. Mm-hmm. But of course, God is a man. And it's like, God is definitely not a man. Like, men have done so much horrible shit on this goddamn planet. There's no way in hell. So that kind of gave me that thing of like, look at the devil being a temptress, being a woman. The reason that men fall is because of hot women who are evil. I was like,
Yeah, I agree. I think that so this is a Harold Ramis movie. It's written by three old white guys all at once. And
shocker.
I know. Yeah, you would never guess by how the characters are. But it's like, I think that they thought they were doing something by having the devil be a woman. I think that they thought they were doing something like subversive and interesting when they were kind of just like not doing that. Like, it's not even anything against Elizabeth Hurley. I think for like the part that she's given, she does great. Yeah, like she's fun to watch. She plays parts like these parts really well. I also like, kind of unrelated, but I didn't realize how Elizabeth Hurley first became famous, which is also kind of like this weird kind of misogynist story of she was Hugh Grant's girlfriend in the early 90s and she wore a dress, like, I guess a really, like, I don't know, it was made out to be like a scandalous dress to the premiere of Four Weddings and a Funeral, and then all of a sudden she was like famous. She like wore a dress one time, and they were like, oh, Hugh Grant's girlfriend, let's see what's going on with this, like, this woman. And then all of a sudden she was kind of like skyrocketed to fame. It was very weird. Like,
maybe I need to date a celebrity. I'm working too hard. Shit, I'll get out there. I put my titties out. These days, everybody's so naked all the time. I think I would have to wear like a full cocoon suit or something to get myself seen. Because Cardi B out here just putting tape on and was like, ta-da! Right. So that's not shocking anymore. Damn, what am I going to do? I don't know. But this is...
It's weird. It's like she had been like an actor before. Like she had been acting and she like been on TV. She'd been in movies. But like nothing had really happened until people started being like, look at her body. Look at Hugh Grant's girlfriend's body. And then all of a sudden she was extremely famous, which I was like, that doesn't it's just, I don't know, it's a little depressing.
Man, that was back in the day when that worked. That doesn't work anymore, because I remember Eva Mendes got famous kind of like that. She was in Will Smith's video, and then they were like, who is that beautiful Latina woman? And then, you know, Eva Mendes started getting her some jobs. So man, I miss those days. Good old raw misogyny.
It really worked out for some people.
It did. And it's like, no hate to Elizabeth Hurley. I think she plays the part like really funny.
She's
and
so
well.
Good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like she's but it's just like, it is written to be like, wow, what if the devil wanted to have sex with you regular guy? And it's like, Is that like
what
really?
What was that about? Why did she kiss him like unsolicited like that? Because she didn't want to fuck him. So it was like, what is the point of, why are you kissing on this man?
I guess it was, it comes back to the whole bedazzling thing. That was her way of like, because she's like, yeah, she's like, she's a temptress. She's a succubus. She's trying to lure him in.
I think, yeah, the succubus thing is like really at play there too. Like, yeah. I don't know. You're just like, I like that it's Elizabeth Hurley, and yet it is still pretty sexist. Like, and then the right. way that she acts too, and like the way that they write her dialogue, you're like, oh, she doesn't. I wish she didn't have to say that.
I wish she didn't have to say that. Also, that reminds me of like, if you ever watch the end of the Bring It On series, there's a like one of the, you know how a movie is like famous and then like they'll make some more and they just uh-huh. become like B, C movies.
Yes.
There's one where there's like a black girl in a scene where I was fully like, oh my God, did she read the script? Did they change it before? The white girl was like, you don't know her. She's very ghetto. She does drive-bys and stuff.
Oh my God.
This poor black girl, why is she in this scene? So I feel like that same way about Elizabeth Hurley mm-hmm. in this. But I also want to say they missed a chance to actually pass the Bechdel test when she was making out with Brendan on the table. And it was these two ladies sitting at the table. If they had just been like, damn, what's this lady doing? I don't know, sis. I guess you want another vodka tonic something. They were just like, scram, get out of here, other women. Don't talk.
Yeah.
Right.
Only one woman in a scene at a time.
That is really the rule of the movie. Like, it's really bleak. I don't know. It's
we don't have enough tampons for two women in the scene at a time. Only one.
Oh. And also, like, she, I don't know, yeah, like, she, I get, like, she's also the devil, so it's not like I'm, like, expecting her to be, like, very respectful to other women. Like, she's the devil, I get it. But the things that they, like, decide to be like, oh, like, let's go, let's look at Allison while she's naked, let's do this, let's do that, it's like, the setups are really, like, let's exploit the only other woman in the movie who we don't know a single thing about.
Anything about. Mm. And I think they were like, but it's okay because the devil, who is a woman, told him to go peek at her in the shower. He didn't want to do it. He said no because he respect bitches. But she said, get in there and look at them titties in the shower.
Yeah. And he's like, well, another woman said it was okay, so it must be allowed.
Right.
Like,
Wait, while we're there, the peeping Tom scene, when they read her diary, I really wanted to throw up.
The most generic. Oh,
I have a journal. I write. Yeah. And it's never like, dear diary, I just want a man who's so sensitive. You know, like I was talking about men yesterday and the day before, because I just love men and it's all I think about. Like,
that's another scene where you're like, oh, three old white guys. Got it. Because right. it's like, this Allison is supposed to be like in her 30s, right?
Yeah.
Like, and she's just like, dear, like, that's the fictional diary of an 11-year-old. Right. It's so fucking weird. Like, as told by Ginger. Like, it's so.
Oh my gosh.
I just wanted to shout out the devil's license plate, Bad One.
Oh,
pretty
sure.
Fun. Mm-hmm. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Good.
Yeah.
Should we just go through each of these wishes and unpack them? Because there's some of them are like whatever, but like there's quite a few that there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah. The ones that are bad are bad.
Buckle up, everyone. We're unpacking the wishes. Okay. So obviously the first, the Big Mac and Coke, nothing really to say they're
fun product
except
placement.
For right, except for McDonald's product placement.
Aggressive product placement, though. Not only was it, they walked in McDonald's, they made the full order, they told us the price, then they walked out of McDonald's and he had the McDonald's bag and he opened the bag up and he said, I ain't even getting no french fries. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it, though.
And then he literally was like, so it's delicious. It's so, I never think product placement isn't so funny, because it's like, do you really think I didn't know like that? And also I was like, damn, McDonald's costs like $3.50 for a whole meal 20 years ago?
I know.
Wild.
It was aggressive, though. They were like, look, McDonald's was like, yeah, no, we don't want just a mention. We want a three-part series.
We want George of the Jungle to say that his Big Mac is the best meal he's ever had.
Yeah. Right.
It's great. And I guess that happens in different... I, like, read through the Wikipedia page of the original one, and it seems like generally, like... I mean, I might watch it and then take this back, but it seems like the setups are less problematic than the 90s one. Mm. But it's the same deal. They like go to get some food, or but it, he's at a yeah. diner.
He wants a raspberry lolly or something.
It's all very British. Who knows?
Yeah.
Oh God.
Okay, so that's technically the first wish. The second one is him wanting to be rich and powerful and to be married to Allison. We already touched on this in the recap, but the devil's like situation that she puts him in is that he is a Colombian drug lord, which means that they put Brendan Fraser in brown face, they put a prosthetic mm-hmm. nose on him, they visibly darken his skin, mm-hmm. they darken his hair, he's got brown eye contacts in, and he is fully in brown face.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there aren't white Colombians. That's not a thing. They're not white Colombians. Right, like, ooh. Like, there are, y'all. There are.
Right. Like,
it's so fucking frustrating because it's like there are... Because I feel like there's a number of things that are going on, the most egregious of which are the prosthetic and the brown face. But also, Brendan Fraser's performance is, like, really pretty broadly offensive in the way that he's playing it, too. Like, there's just nothing about this setup that is...
Right.
Not fucked up. Like, and it's so,
and I'm sure in his eyes, because he's a character actor, you know how those types are. It's like, oh, they made me over. They put a nose on my face and I had to lay in a tanning thing for hours as they painted my raw skin. And, you know, he's thinking he's like really getting into it. And it's like, mm-hmm. like, what are you talking about? Like,
right. And like, also the Allison fantasy character is also playing a Colombian woman. And it didn't seem like they altered her appearance much beyond like putting her in a dark haired wig, but her performance is also very over the top and very rooted in a lot of stereotypes of Latinx women.
It's also like it. I mean, it goes without saying. I would be truly shocked if any Colombian person was spoken to about this scene, like, or consulted in any way. Like they were. Which I feel like almost ties into, like, by the 90s, the kind of, like, the Harold Ramis kind of sense of humor is, like, it's showing the wear. Like, it looks dated even in 2000 that they're doing right. this shit. And that it's, like, kind of, especially with comedy directors, I feel like once you reach a certain, like, point in your career, if it's obvious if you're not, like, listening to the fact that times are changing, because it was just so, like... Well,
there's nothing wrong with him being a Colombian drug lord, mm-hmm. and there's nothing wrong with him speaking Spanish in the scenes, and even having the wig, because that's like how, you know, the stereotype is of like what people wear their hair like there. It's just like, because there are white people in Colombia. There's black people mm-hmm. in Colombia. You know what I mean? Like, so it's not like he couldn't be white Brendan Fraser. That's why it was weird they painted him and like gave him a fake nose.
Right.
That was unnecessary. He could have just been Colombian. And that would we wouldn't have been like, that's weird. Like, there are mm-hmm. white Colombians. So I was just like,
right.
Lord Jesus.
Yes.
They didn't need to do it, and yet they
did. Orlando Jones always makes me laugh, and I don't know how I remember this scene from when I was probably 8 the first time I saw this, was Orlando Jones is behind him when they get to like the whole drug lord scenario where like things are going south with the Russians, and Orlando mm-hmm. turns around at one point and under his nose is just like all white from cocaine.
Oh yeah.
But like so much cocaine that she'd probably die if you snorted that much at once.
Yeah.
But he turns around so casually and like I could just tell that Orlando didn't have a lot to work with, but he was like, listen, I'm gonna be in this movie, okay? I'm about to can I do this? You know what I mean? Like he was giving back mm-hmm. there, and I loved it.
Yeah, this scene was, because it was like, it's clear that they're like parodying like it seems like they're almost parodying like a soap opera, like a hyper like intense, I don't know, like,
or all those movies, you know, about, there's so many movies about the Colombian drug lord, and you know, mm-hmm. so they were doing that.
Yeah, because all of these like cutaway sketches are kind of like a parody or a reference to something else.
They were like, can we do not another teen movie, but for other movies, but also it's Bedazzled?
Right. And you won't know why it's called Bedazzled no matter how much time passes. It's just, yeah, the brown face and the prosthetic is like, fucking what?
So yeah, that that's our foray into these wishes. So it like,
right, and then you're like, oh, we've got six more of these. Let's see what happens.
Oh yeah. Well, let's take a quick break and then we'll get into the rest of them.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. Well, I don't know about you, but like, I never liked being told, oh, wow, you look so good for your age. Like, why even bother saying that? Why don't you just say you look great at any age, every age? That's what Meaningful Beauty is all about. We create products that make you feel confident in your skin at the age you are now.
Meaningful Beauty. Beautiful skin at every age. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Is your underwear in need of a refresh? Meet Tomboy X, makers of the original boxer briefs for women, queer-founded and queer-run. Tomboy X designs sustainable, gender-inclusive underwear and apparel in sizes 3 extra small to 6 extra large. Use code IHEART at checkout for 20% off your first purchase only at tomboyx.com. Shop now on tomboyx.com.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
And we're back.
Let's get into the second one.
Yes.
Okay.
So this one is Brendan Fraser wishing to be the most sensitive man in the world. And there's some lead up to this that we also touched on, but like there's some important discussion to be had here where, so in order to find out that Allison wants a sensitive man, he is complicit in stalking her, invading her privacy.
Which he was doing anyways. Like, which, that's the other thing, is like, it's frustrating that the devil is like giving him permission to continue stalking her, because we know at the beginning of the movie he already was. He's like, right, I know how she eats bagels, even though I've never spoken to her. I'm like, okay, so you've been stalking her. It's not like you're a nice guy because you're like, should I stalk her now? It's like, you've been doing that.
Right.
And it's like, oh, she can't see you. So it's fine
you peep at her in the shower. And he's like, well, you called me a desperate loser, so I might as well live up to that. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't think he's successful at seeing her naked, but he definitely, not for a lack of trying, he definitely tries.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the wish, and he's super sensitive. Allison does not like how sensitive he is, and she ends up going off with this, like, tough macho jock guy
who doesn't care about her at all.
You know how women are. If you care about them, they don't want that. Treat them like hussies.
I'm just like, God, the writers are telling on themselves so hard in this one. It's so
it's their bitterness for women that's just like jumping onto the page. It's like, women don't like when you respect them. They like when you come and you're like, hey, ho bitch, get in my car. Like, what are you saying?
My van.
In my van. It was a van.
He had a van.
He was like, come drink beers in my van with my four friends. It's not weird.
And she's like, finally, I love that.
Finally.
I love that for me.
I love that for me.
the whole, like, yeah, this whole, I guess this whole sketch relies on the assumption that women hate when men are, like, emotionally vulnerable.
Right.
He also kind of looks like Jughead from Riverdale in this sequence. He's wearing, like, a little red wig.
Yeah, I guess, like, person with red hair equals sensitive.
Look, I love ginger, so the ginger community should really rise up and be angry about this.
When is someone going to speak out about this scene in Bedazzled? Yeah, it's just like, oh, she... First of all, it especially in scenes like this, it really, you really feel how little you know about Allison, because you're like, is this how the real Allison feels? Like, right. No, because her diary said the opposite. So, like, why is this even happening that she's now acting the exact... It's so weird. It's right. So
it kept
weird.
Making her awful. Like, before the Colombian drug lord scene, she's, like, cheating on him and, like, openly, like, rubbing her Spanish or English teacher's booty hole, like, in front of him. Then and then in this one, she's like, get away from me. I'm going to hang out with these creeps in their van. Like, what is this woman a nice lady? Is this just a dream scenario that's changing her personality? Because it doesn't change his personality, but it changes her personality in everyone.
Right.
Yeah, in a way that, like, victimizes Brendan Fraser and, like, makes him a victim of her behavior, when it's like, that's not even her. It's so weird.
Right. Well, because he doesn't know anything about her, he's just sort of, like, projecting what he assumes she might be like into each of these fantasies, I guess. Because, yeah, she's so wildly inconsistent from, like, wish to wish.
But then in her diary, she says, like, the opposite. Yes. Right before you see this scene. So you're like, why mm-hmm. why am I even watching this scene? I know that's not what she thinks. She right. She thinks, like, she's an 11-year-old girl writing in a unicorn diary about, like, wanting to marry Daniel Radcliffe. Like, that's how... Like,
right, because this wish basically suggests that, like, women don't actually know what they want. She thought she wanted a sensitive man, but as soon as she finds one, she doesn't. And she just wants to be with the same type of, like, aggro, toxic masculinity dude that she's probably been with before. And then after they get out of that wish and Brendan and the devil are talking... He's like, I'm starting to think that women don't really know what they want. And the devil's like, ew. Bingo. And it's
there's
like...
There's a movie for that. It's called What Women Want.
Where all the women in the movie know what they want.
Yep.
Yes. And loudly tell... Yeah.
Mel Gibson.
Mel Gibson.
Yo, but I love that they also tried to honor... the mistake they made with her leaving him by being like, she's like, I love you, but you're too sensitive. And it's like, what do you, so you love him, but you're not going to be with him? I guess you love some people, you're not with him. Oh.
It just, so nothing makes sense. It also just, like, granted, his emotional sensitivity is, like, turned up to an 11, and he's being a lot in a way that would also annoy me. The
anyone.
Way he's behaving.
Anyone. Yeah. Annoyed.
Yeah.
But even so, the movie, it makes an emotionally sensitive man just seem, like, weird and pathetic.
And annoying.
And annoying.
Like, yeah. So it's like toxic masculinity of, like, buck up. Nobody wants to see you cry. Like,
yeah. Right. And it's like, the less you care about this girl, the more likely she is to want to fuck you.
Because she says, I just want to be with a man who will ignore me and take me for granted and who's only pretending to be interested in who I am and what I think so that he can get into my pants. And the guy's like, yep, that's me.
And nobody wants that. No, like, those men are tricking women. Do you see how you said, like, she pretends that he pretends to be interested? No woman is that meta. That's just like, he pretended to be interested in me, honey. Ooh, wop, wop, my pussy's so wet now. Like, what? They're being tricked. They're not in on it. Don't be trying to say women are in on the trick. We're not in on it.
No.
There's so much. Yeah, there's, like, so much weird logic going on.
That's like if somebody robbed your house and they were like, but you knew you was leaving town so I could rob you. No.
And then it's like, oh, well, do you want guys to act like Brendan Fraser's acting in this scene? You're like, no, I don't know what he's doing. Like,
right.
I have no idea what he's... I think he's supposed to be, like, this caricature of, like, man emotions. But I'm like, no, it... Like, so there's got to be somewhere between
the middle,
these two characters.
In the middle. Yes. Not a man who every time he sees the sunset is, like, ugly crying. Like... That's a lot.
It's just like right. Not a person that exists. It's so
so bizarre.
It's just, it's a fucking weird one. Yeah, so that's that
one. So that's that one. Now it's time for Brendan Fraser as a pro basketball player.
Oh my God.
All right.
Why did they make him albino? Why does he have nappy hair?
What is happening with his... I could not really understand what they were going for.
Was he supposed to be like... Still blackface, but albino face Dennis Rodman? I'm confused. They're like, we do an albino, the black people can't say nothing. Like, also, there are good white basketball players. He couldn't have been Dirk Nowitzki and just had like a lot of hair in his face and been still very sweaty. Why he have to have an afro? I was confused.
It was another thing that was like, you didn't need to do, like, you so easily could have just not done something. Like...
Right. We would have still known he was a basketball player. I guess they were trying to say like he's a black basketball player because I guess they get all the women. I don't know what they were trying to say with that. All the basketball players get chased.
It's almost like the filmmakers were like, okay, well, even though we did brown face, we can't do black face. But let's get as close as we can get to that without actually doing black face.
The albino face. No one will know. Like, we... You know, black people, I got albino people in my family. We know that. We know what you're doing.
Yeah.
I think they had to, now I'm starting to realize why it was albino face was because the whole dick joke was supposed to be like, black guys have big dicks. So right. You would automatically think because he's a huge basketball player that he's going to just have like the schlong, which like was such a big focus of a lot of these wishes, which that's such a man thing. Cause I'm like, they act like all women are like, oh yeah, we love a huge penis.
That is the assumption that this movie is operating on. So I have a whole thing about penis size. Ready? I'm about to say penis 1,000 times.
Yes.
Okay. Ready.
Okay. So in this scene, because Allison assumes that he has a big penis, she's very interested in that and that alone. Because also... Brendan Fraser as this character can like barely string a sentence together.
Right.
And that's like part of the joke that he just like can't really form thoughts. So, but she's super interested in him because of this assumption that because he's so tall, I guess.
And he has that hair.
And he has that hair.
Yeah. He's black adjacent.
That he must have a large penis. And then as soon as she discovers that he does not, that he seems to have what, again, we don't see it on screen, but it is heavily implied that it is a very small penis. She becomes disinterested and runs away. So many things. So here we go. Shaming of penis size, particularly how we as a society shame small penises. This is something that happens a lot today. Still, it happens in a lot of circle, it seems to be something that is still very just socially acceptable to do. And I feel like it's not enough people talk about why shaming small penises or micro penises is very harmful and wrong and not feminist. So I just want to go through a few things here where obviously, first of all, it's wrong to just simply body shame someone for something that they have no control over. Mm-hmm. So that's like the core of it. But there's more to it than that. So shaming small penises in order to attack a person's manhood, which is like usually why anyone does that, means that we as a society value large penises. And because we as a society associate penis size to be connected with a person's manliness and masculinity, meaning like the bigger the penis, the more masculine a person must be. And because characteristics like aggressiveness are also associated with masculinity, it basically means that by shaming small penises, we are inadvertently condoning and valuing toxic standards of masculinity like aggression. So, like, our obsession with large penises, and society, is basically akin to, we also love toxic masculinity. So
yeah, I mean, and I think that there's like that goes with like there's a number of body parts you can apply that to. I mean, you can like apply that to like boobs as well, and like like valuing people on the size of their boobs, or like, you know, deciding how immediately interested someone would be based on your body, or like your boobs, your butt. Like there's so many physical characteristics that we've like associated with like desirability that is like, I mean, demonstrably untrue for most people.
Right. And also I kind of, it opened my eyes to this a little bit more when I started to think about the trans men in my life. And they were like, when you talk about people's penis size, it's like, it's really transphobic. And I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that. So like, there's just so many angles to this. And also, I do want to make one clarification about the albinism that I was talking about. Albinism can occur across different races. I was specifically saying that this albinism that they were doing was a black man, because if you look at the texture of his hair, it is very typical of that of an African-American. Like they made him like have deep coils, like 4C hair. And that's why I was like, is this an albino black person? So I just wanted to clarify that, because it's not like albinism just belongs to black people. But I was like, this is, I know what's happening here.
Right.
I honestly didn't pick up on that the first time I saw it, and it wasn't until the second time that I'm like, no fucking way.
His hair like that? Yeah. And that's how a lot of people with albinism who are black, their hair looks. So I was and then like the association with the big penis, and yeah, it's because he's tall and stuff, but it's also because they tried to make you think like, oh, he's black, but not in blackface. So
Then on top of that, I mean, you have like so many gendered stereotypes going on with Allison in this scene, where it's like there's an assumption that she could not possibly want to be a sports reporter because she likes sports. It has to be because she's trying to fuck somebody, right? And then on top of like that, she's like, she is sexually harassing him in the
locker room.
Like she's absolutely harassing him and pressuring him to get naked in front of her. And just like, there's just so like, it's just just zeros across the board.
I feel like that happened because they were like, look, we can't do another scene where she sees the penis is small. We got to get it all out at the at this venue. We got one location. And so they're like, she's got to see the penis somehow here. So they decide to make her like so aggressively, inappropriately horny that she's like, basically like, show me your dick.
Right now.
It
makes no sense. But yeah, like you were saying, Lacey, like society's obsession with penis size ignores a lot of trans men because it assumes that all men have a penis. And it ignores a lot of trans women because it assumes that anyone with a penis is a man. This goes for a lot of non-binary people as well. Just a lot of people who are not a cisgender man. And it also, again, shaming small penises stigmatizes the bodies of intersex people. Because when an intersex baby is born with a micropenis, doctors will often remove it and surgically turn the genitals into a vagina and just basically try to make the baby a female baby because of society's obsession with, like, you know, the gender binary and the sex binary. And doctors will do this without anyone's consent. And, right. Like,
before the baby could realize how they feel. Yeah.
Years before.
Yeah.
And this, of course, leads to a lot of trauma for many intersex people. So again, this just like tendency to demonize or make fun of small penises ends up being really harmful to a lot of people directly, and or it contributes to a larger just like cultural toxicity. Because like I've seen a lot of otherwise compassionate and progressive people be like, oh, this person sucks and he probably has a tiny dick. And like, I've been guilty of it myself. I regret ever having done that. And so I just want people to know that like insulting or shaming someone by saying they have a small penis is something that's still happening a lot, and it is not okay.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to like lay that all out there, because I don't think this is something we've talked about on the podcast, but
no, I think that that's a really good thing to bring into the conversation, because yeah, it's like we try to talk about like the ways that hypermasculinity is like stylized and kind of forced into media. And that like, if you don't fit a very specific, I don't know, like, yeah, very binary form of masculinity that is based on really just shit that men have made up over the years.
Right.
That you are like lesser than, and that you should feel inherent shame. And then all the shit that leads to, and all the problems that leads to for people and for the people in their lives. Like, yeah, yeah. I hate that it was Bedazzled that made us talk about it, but here we are. Right. I am glad we're talking about
Bedazzled,
it.
Bedazzled, a think piece.
I pulled a lot of this information from an article in everydayfeminism.com that we will link to in the show notes because it's worth reading more about. But I just wanted to bring that up because as soon as like shaming of small penis size comes up in the movie Bedazzled, I was like, all right, here's the chance to talk about this.
And then it immediately comes up again in the next scene where it's like, Brendan Fraser's talking to Elizabeth Hurley again, and he reacts defensively because he's feeling this like shame from this offensive sketch that he just appeared in, and leave people alone.
Seriously.
Movies. Leave everybody alone.
So that brings us to the next wish where he, again, like a lot of these wishes are like, you know, there's the catch that the devil, there's always some catch. So he has to like course correct and like make sure he's very careful with his language and like what he wishes for on the next wish. So this next one is like, okay, I don't want to be this like bumbling basketball player. I want to be really articulate and sophisticated and yeah, make sure I don't have like, give me a big penis. And then the catch for this one is that even though he is like talking to Allison and they seem to be hitting it off, he does not seem to know that he's gay until he goes home and sees his partner there, which is like one of the actors who's like been recurring in all of these sketches. And he's like, wait a minute, I'm gay? And then that's the catch. That's the deal breaker. Like, that's the thing that is presented as being just as unappealing as like being shot at because you're a drug lord. So
I think and I don't want to defend these gross guys, I think they were being like, well, you'll never be with her because you don't want to, but it doesn't work because he's attracted to her. He talks to her. He likes her. He takes her home to bed her. And then they have this moment where it's like, well, kiss me so I can see if I'm really gay. And it's like, that's not how sexuality works. Like,
no.
What?
It also like eliminates the any possibility that you could be bi. Like, there's
right.
no
like,
world
clearly
in which
you are bi.
Like,
what?
It's so aggressively binary. The partner that he's coming home to is also written in these really broad
what
stereotypes.
What a stereotype. Like, what is happening? Why do they give him that wig?
Like, every gay man knows everything about theater and, like...
Yeah, and then, yeah, for him to know something about theater, it's like, bingo, gotcha, you know theater. Homosexual. Yeah. Like, it's... There are plenty of straight people who do theater. I know them. Like, and even if they are gay or if they're on the spectrum, because we're all on some sexual spectrum. Look, there's somebody out there who would do it for you. You may just have never met them. So, like, to be like, oh, well, he knows musicals and he kissed her and his penis didn't get hard. Like, what? The math that they did just was not mathing. Mm. None of the math was mathing.
At least I was like, ugh, at least that scene was like mercifully not extremely long the way a lot of the scenes were, but it was like, God, we were building up to that. Like, just every sketch in this movie is a different flavor of really dated offensive stereotypes.
Yes.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the only reason that one wasn't longer was because that's all that they probably knew about gay people, even in the terms of stereotypes. They're like, okay, we know they like show tunes. We know they don't have sex with women. What else you got? Nothing? Okay, we'll make this a half a page.
Like, all right, next scene.
Like, they just didn't have any more stereotypes to write in.
Right.
Like, and a bob. Give him a bob.
Oh, what a mess. Also, like, Brendan Fraser should have just, like, he seemed like he was having a pretty good life. Like, he, like, and if, like, again, it's this assumption that because he's gay, he could never be happy. because he's gay. Like,
I'm like, it seems like you have, like, a nice house, like, and yeah. and a boyfriend who is ready to forgive you for about to be cheating on him, like, for some reason
with the person in the bedroom, like, and he was like, yeah, it's fine. Also, like, that's a good observation, Caitlin, because if we take these lives and we compare them to the life that he was living, working at some fucking cubicle company mm-hmm. with a bunch of people mm-hmm. who fucking hate him, not having no love in his life, now he gets to be an intelligent, cool, smart guy who people love, and he's the mm-hmm. life of the party. Everywhere he goes, everybody's on his, you know, ass. And then he goes home, he has a partner who fiercely loves him.
Right.
That life is so much better than the life that Brendan has.
So much.
And I love right. that they were just trying to be like, but gay. And it's, but like, gay, do you know how many gay people are out there?
Get
happy
out of there.
As fuck? Like, ew.
It, and then the second he gets out of that wish, he immediately starts saying a ton of homophobic stuff to Elizabeth Hurley. And she's yes. kind of like, tee hee hee. Wasn't Ugh. That a funny joke? And you're like, no, Elizabeth, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Yeah, so the next wish is the President Lincoln one, and
this is kind of corny, like yeah.
corny ass joke. Yes. The only way it could have been worse is if they did JFK, like,
oh right. sure.
I was like, yeah, I didn't. My main note with that scene was that it was boring, and I was glad it was short.
It was short, and then his final wish is the wish for Allison to have a happy life, which we don't like see play out even.
Right. Which I'm like, does that mean that her diary comes true? And she's like, I want to have a nice man and live in it. And that's the end. That's it.
Also, the fact that his last wish is for a girl who he hasn't spoke to in 4 years. Not your mama. Not you know, right. his cousin. He's like, that lady who I stalk, I hope she has a good life. Like,
yeah. Which her having a good life would mean probably never coming in contact with you again, right. Brendan Fraser. Like,
you stand in hell.
Which at least she is maybe granted. Like, at least he. But it's like so. Yeah, it's so bare minimum-y of like the way that his soul is liberated from hell is by vaguely wanting someone he has been stalking for 4 years to have a nice life.
Right.
Like, that. Could you ask for less? But then Elizabeth Hurley is like, wow, what a king. Like, what an amazing
yeah.
man.
Holy cow.
To have made this, like.
The bar is on the floor.
Really is. The bar is in hell.
Right, the bar is in hell, literally. At least they told us that.
Yeah. And I mean, speaking of bare minimum stuff, I guess I appreciated and wasn't expecting this to happen where Brendan Fraser, when he, again, just goes and does what he should have done from the very beginning, which is just try to talk to her mm-hmm. and, like, see if she might want to get some coffee with him sometime. And she's like, but he's like, you know, I don't know you at all, but I'd like to get to know you. So at least he's, like, acknowledging that he doesn't know her, and that I guess the reason that she's so inconsistent between, from, like, wish to wish is that
he doesn't know
those
her.
Are just like mm-hmm. those projections. We talked about this in our Inception episode where
yeah oh like, yeah well wild connection yeah
like the character of Maul was really weirdly characterized, but it's because it was just like Leonardo DiCaprio's character's projection of her, that rather than like a real person.
I hate that writing hack of like, well, I don't need to write a female character if I write a man thinking about what he thinks a female character could be like right. and being
then
wrong.
We don't have to write about women at all. We don't have to ask them no questions because mm-hmm. this is the idea that a man had about a woman.
Like, right. Do you not want to speak to your wife or sister that bad? Mm, like, what is going on? Like, the fucking loophole that
they find.
We don't do
pillow talk over here. I turn on my side.
Brutal. Yeah, I did. I was genuinely surprised that he doesn't end up with her at the end. Mm-hmm. But then I was, you know, immediately brought back to earth.
Well, he just ends up with a different version of
a different woman that we don't know anything about.
Which is also a message. They're basically like, miss one bus, next to 15, one coming. Okay, just like the other one. You won't know nothing about her, and she'll be just as hot, man. Don't worry.
Mm-hmm. So it was like 500 Days of Summery, like the end yes. where it's like, oh, this man is, I mean, even if he's not entitled to this woman, he's entitled to a woman, so we better get one in the mix. And you're just like, Is he, though? Like, doesn't he need to, like, work on himself a
like,
little
why
bit?
Why can't he just like, go home and lay in the bed and then, like, be like, what a day? Or so, I look, like, we don't need to see him with another woman. He don't deserve no woman. What has he done to get a woman?
Nothing. He's like, I want the girl I stalked to have a nice life. But I'm just like, ugh, what?
He should have wished for a therapist. He should have wished for, like, just anything that would have allowed him to, like, reflect upon his life and his choices.
Right. If he ends on a therapy couch and he's like, yeah, I've been stalking a girl for 4 years. You know, like, that makes more sense to me. And even then, he could fall in love with the therapist. I would be like, oh, that's a funny joke. But, like, it's better than, like, somebody get this man a woman.
Mm-hmm. It's so, like, it's so annoying and... Yeah, I don't know. The whole Allison thing, it's just exhausting. Like, it made me, like, interested in, like, how was this movie marketed? And the way it was marketed was basically, like, the tagline was, like, how far will this man go for the woman he loves? And it's like,
loves?
He doesn't love her. He doesn't know her.
Mm-hmm.
How far does he go? I don't know. The devil's just fucking around with him for most of the movie. In like, but that was how it was presented. Like, how far would you go for the person you love, even
that
though it's a stranger that he's stalking?
You've barely met and never talked to.
I wonder as an actress, like, how that job was for the woman who played Allison. Was she just like, oh, this is an easy check? Because, I mean, they showed up. She had to show up and basically do nothing. Say nothing. Have no emotions. Have no choices.
Just a bunch of wigs.
Right. They were like, just stand here. Okay, put on this wig. Okay, put on this wig.
Okay, like... I know. It's so bleak. It's like, oh, God. Well,
well,
does anyone have any other stuff to bring
up? Yeah, one quick thing. In the beginning, when Brendan Fraser doesn't believe this devil woman, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, you must be a Scientologist. You must be... Basically, there's like sex worker shaming because she's like, she brings up business. And then he thinks because she says that, she's a sex worker.
He's like, I only did that once and I didn't mean to.
Yeah, and it was an accident. And she's like, ooh, no, I'm not. And then she uses the word hooker.
Right.
And it's just a very much of the time.
Yeah,
right. Thing to do. This is always gonna just be gross to me because it's like, oh, a woman can have as much sex as she wants for free, but then when she's like, put a little money on a nightstand, all of a sudden she's nasty. Get the fuck out of here. That's just something men made up because they didn't want to pay. If men had pussy, it would be on the stock market. I'm sick of this shit. We'd be buying and selling it like GameStop right now. God damn. Yeah. I love sex workers. I just want to make that very fucking clear. This shit is fucking weird. Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, and then I love how they're doing the internalized misogyny because the woman is saying it. He's like, oh no, that's not what I want, Miss Ma'am. Yeah. And she's like, ooh, mm-hmm. that's gross. I'd never be that kind of woman. I love men and I'll have sex for free.
Yeah, that's another, there's like one of the writing, I mean, there's every word is a writing issue, right? But like how the writers of this movie very often like give the like really toxic protagonist permission to do stuff through mm-hmm. a woman. Like, mm-hmm. I hate that shit so much. It bothers me. And I'm like, you think I don't notice Larry, Harold, and Peter? But I do.
Those literally names.
The fact that Larry, Harold, and Peter, like, that just brings it all into perspective. You're like, oh, from the guy that brought you fucking Caddyshack, an attempt to write a female character. It's just not going to happen. I will say that Peter Tolan is a gay man. So there was a gay writer on this movie. But
so he probably got bullied. I feel bad for him now because that gay scene, they must have been like, yeah, Peter, this is your territory. You write this. You know how gross your people are. He's like, okay. Like, it had to have been, like, awful. Or otherwise, he's very much internalizing self-hatred.
Well, that's
that
I was, what I'm not... Well, see, that's the thing. I am not sure if Peter Tolan was out when this movie came out because he was married to a woman for many years, had a couple of kids in a very straight marriage, and then came out as gay later. I wasn't able to find like when that was. I would assume he may not have been out when this movie was released, but
And if he wrote that part, it makes a little more sense. It doesn't make more sense. I don't get it.
Let's not forget too that, like, even if he was out, there's still internalized homophobia.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Like the same way there's internalized sexism, all that. Like, God, women have written some really fucked up movies
about women. Yeah.
But so, I mean, I'm still unlearning, like, internalized misogyny that, like, was very much like what was ingrained into my brain as a person growing up with movies like Bedazzled.
Look, Beyonce may be at Girls Run the World and all that now, but I remember there was a time when Beyonce had a song called Nasty Put Some Clothes On. I told ya, don't walk out your house without your clothes on. I told ya. She said they don't want no hot female that's been around the black female. You nasty girl. That was the original Nasty Girl. And you'll never hear Beyonce sing it. And Beyonce, I'm sorry to bring this up. Don't have the hive after me. I love you, queen. I'm just saying, we all grow. We all have internalized misogyny.
Right. So there is. So it was, co-written by a gay man, and there's still a very homophobic scene. Two things can be true.
Especially because this was popular to do in 2000. This was popular to do in 2010. Like it's like, it's only pretty recently that people, masses are getting more aware of like how problematic jokes like this and storylines like this
we can't have any fun anymore. And I'm like, how many? That's always the weird thing to me, especially like comedians and other older people being like, well, all this cancel culture and all this stuff, we can't even have any fun anymore. I'm like, how many times do you need to hear the same joke that's punchline Asian or punchline gay or you've heard that joke a million times? You don't want to hear a new joke, even if the joke was slapping, even if you're like, oh, this racism is like, you've already heard it, right? So you don't want a new joke that maybe is not as terrible? I don't get that logic at all.
It's so fucking weird. And it's like this team is very like that. I mean, and I mean, commenters can correct me if I, but like, this is the team that brought you, you know, Ghostbusters, Stripes, Caddyshack, National Lampoon's Vacation, Groundhog Day, like a lot of very popular, considered to be classic comedies. That
very woke comedies.
they're not known for. So the fact that they're now, you know, in their like 60s and still trying to make this shit happen, it just like, it's such a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
It does not work.
Yes,
that's my little context corner.
So thank you so much. Does anyone have any other final thoughts about Bedazzled?
Elizabeth Hurley was fun.
She was fun. I always love a good Elizabeth Hurley performance.
She's got cool outfits.
She has great outfits.
She looked fantastic. I loved
her shirt where it's rhinestones and it says bad. I was like, that's fun.
She also, she antagonizes a cat in that scene as well. There's that's a cat because Allison has a cat and she goes to the cat and the cat's like, meow.
She's the devil.
That was my favorite part of the movie.
Red leather bodysuit. Really enjoyed that one. Really loved the Deviate Hell Club. Besides the weird dancing videos in the back, I was like, a club with a pool? And then like, I was like, oh.
Fun.
It was so fun. Like 2000 where you're like, I'm not even going to think about the germs.
Right. Oh my God. Can you imagine getting into lukewarm soupy water with strangers now?
Oh my God.
Phone parties. How close I was to everyone at Coachella. I tried to watch Homecoming and it was giving me anxiety because everyone's so close. And I was like, oh God. That was a Mr. Krabs meme. I was like, oh.
Well, does this movie pass the Bechdel test?
No.
I honestly forgot to pay close enough attention, but I do not think it does.
No. I watched like the first two scenes and I'm like, no.
There were never enough women in the scene to pass it, except for when he made out with Elizabeth or she made out with him and there was those two women and then they were like, one woman got to speak. She probably got bumped up from background to featured player that day and she got one line. And then the other girl didn't get to say nothing. And then they're like, scram, get out of here, women.
Yeah. The scenes where there's women together, it's that where Elizabeth Hurley evicts two nameless women from the scene.
Right.
And then there's the scene where Allison and Elizabeth Hurley are technically in the same room, but Allison can't see her.
Right.
So it doesn't.
There's another scene where two women are fighting over Brendan Fraser at Club Deviate, but they are unnamed and talking about
a man.
Brendan Fraser.
And also talking to him for the most part. She's like, I want to dance with you. No, I want to dance with you.
Right. They're not even talking with each other. Yeah. Those are the only scenes that I can recall where women are even interacting. Yeah.
Oh, I did want to bring up really quick with Brendan Fraser. He has his career has been very up and down over the years, but I did want to shout him out because he was one of the few men in Hollywood who spoke out about being sexually harassed in the 90s. He was sexually harassed by a very famous executive and like felt a lot of shame about it for many years and then kind of came forward with it in the last couple of years, which I feel like it's hard for everyone, but I feel like on top of the stigmatization of being abused, the hyper masculine expectations on top of that, like I think it's really cool and admirable that he came forward with it. So
and then did it the right way, because when Terry Crews did that shit, Terry fucking Crews, titty dancer number one, and by that I mean like he moves his pecs up and down, guys.
Right.
So every movie he's like in there's a scene for my titties to dance. No, we added in he came out, remember, and he talked about a producer grabbing him inappropriately, and then as soon as black women swelled, the groundswell of support for him, black men were being kind of toxic and and he kind of backtracked. He was like, I'm sorry, black men, y'all were right, and we were like, and so he couldn't even he stood in it for a little while, and then he completely Terry's a nightmare human. He threw us under the bus so quick. He's up there with Omarosa for me. I'm just like, wow, so you gonna sell us out this hard? All right, bruh.
God. That's as far as I know, Brendan has, maintained his truth and also talked about how all this, all the shame that came with it and how he felt like it affected his career because he said something at the time internally.
It probably did. Back then he had to play the game.
Because he really was. I mean, he was in 2000, he was a fucking huge movie star. And then he fell off and it was all kind of lined up with the time he was speaking out about it to his inner team, or he sent a letter to I'll link in the description his full description, but it sounded like a nightmare, and I'm glad he said something.
As someone who works in Hollywood, I'm not famous enough to speak out about the bad things that happened to me, so there are tons of bad things that happened to me, and I'm just like, well, bad things are gonna keep happening for a little bit. You gotta be really you gotta be fucking Tom Cruise or our favorite white man Tom Hanks, who somehow had the most wild ass son, Chet Hanks. How did that happen? How did your loins spring forth, Chet Hanks? We'll never know. Blood clot. But yeah, you have to be really powerful or you can't say shit. And it's still true to this day, because I could say something and I wouldn't have no career no more, honey. I need these checks. So shout out to him.
Yeah.
Damn.
Well, back to Bedazzled, which is a bad movie.
On a high note.
Yeah. Shall we rate?
Yeah, let's rate it on our nipple scale, 0 to 5 nipples, based on an examination of intersectional feminism. You know what? With Bedazzled, I just think it probably has to... I would give it maybe a half nipple, because at least the devil, who is played by a woman, is highly motivated and has agency and does some stuff in the movie, kind of.
It's true.
And again, we said it before, we'll say it again, Elizabeth Hurley was fun to watch in that role.
She's always fun.
But other than that, it's a mess in every regard. Just one problematic joke or wish or sketch or whatever after another. So 1/2 nipple, and I'm going to give it to Orlando Jones because I think he's very funny and I loved him in Office Space.
Yeah, it's going to be a zero from me. I like Elizabeth Hurley's performance. I love her outfits. She's a fashion icon. And the movie is just, it's so weird. It's such a strain that it's going to be zero. I feel like they really thought they did something by making the devil a woman, and I don't want to reward that behavior. It's just going to be a zero. I have no nipples to give.
Yep. Lacey?
This is the first time I've ever done this on this show, but it's also going to be a zero for me.
Wow.
Yeah. I honestly would have gave it half a nip if they had made God a woman too.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that would have passed the Bechdel test probably, because they do talk at the end kind of.
Because man being God and woman being the devil, like, Elizabeth, you did your thing. You were very British. You were so British. It was delicious how British you were. And I love that for you. And I love that leather jumpsuit that you wore, the red one. It was popping. Your body was fire. Like, hell, go ahead, girl. But I can't give it no stars or nipples because it just, goddamn, it's so bad on so many levels. Like, the message is just garbage. And it's very pro-incel and pro, like... Mm. Brendan Fraser's character was an asshole. It wasn't just that he was nerdy. He was a dick. I'm friends with mad nerds. I think that a lot of times people who are nerds feel like it's the nerdy side of them that people don't like. And a lot of times, sometimes it is. Like, sometimes you're just genuinely being bullied by people, and that's not right. But I find the people who never find their tribe, the people who never find people that they can fuck with, it's because you're an asshole. Because I got nerds who roll deep, who they got the homies, they got nerd events, they doing all types of nerdy shit all around town. Okay. And so if you can never find your tribe, it probably has more to do with, like, you being an asshole like this guy was. He was a dick and a nerd and a creep and a weirdo and a stalker, and then at the end he gets rewarded with a bad bitch neighbor. No.
No thanks. Yeah. Okay, I'm gonna drop my nipple rating down to zero as well. No. I should have just done that from the beginning.
No, Elizabeth was good though. I see why you gave her a little nip. She was good.
Yeah, she was good.
But it doesn't. The movie doesn't deserve any nippleage. So, yeah. Well, Lacey, thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Yes, always happy to be here. Always so fun.
Where can people check out your stuff, follow you online, etc.?
Yes. So if you like comedy and robbery, you can listen to my podcast, Scam Goddess Podcast, and that's wherever you get your podcast. And if you want to follow me and my nonsense, that's D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I Diva Lacey on all platforms, including Clubhouse. I'm trying to get messy.
Ooh.
trying to get canceled.
Brave.
Wait, I don't even know what that is. I'm so old and behind. Yeah.
I'm about to invite you to Clubhouse, Caitlin, because you gotta. Okay. I'm gonna invite you to Clubhouse. I'm gonna send it to you. I have your number, right? I'm gonna send it to you. Because it's like just an app where people, it's almost like a podcast, but like a ton of fucking people just get to talk. And it's fun. Celebrities get on there. They ruin their lives. It's just such a good time. The rooms are fun.
Okay. Well, yes. Thank you so much for being here. Come back anytime. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram, not Clubhouse, but maybe that'll change. But Twitter, Instagram at Bechdelcast. You can check out our Patreon, aka Matreon, at patreon.com/Bechdelcast. It gets you 2 bonus episodes every single month, plus the whole back catalog of bonuses. It's $5 a month. What more could you ask for?
And I guess in conclusion, we wouldn't recommend watching this movie.
No.
I kind of miss the version of me that didn't know it existed.
No, I feel bad. I'm personally responsible.
She was so young.
I mean, we got this episode out of it, and that's
a good thing. We're so happy you're here.
All right, bye everyone.
Bye.
There's nothing worse than wearing clothes that don't fit right. That's why Tomboy X makes size and gender-inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. Queer-founded and run for over 10 years, you can trust they know a thing or two about making the perfect pair. Feel comfortable in your own skin. Shop online today and use code IHEART for 20% off your first purchase. Only at TomboyX.com. Tomboy X. Fit for you just as you are.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.